lives in a pineapple under the sea. A dolphin in yellow, of course, is he. If nautical nonsense is something you wish, then drop on the deck and flop like a fish. Ready? SpongeBob SquarePants. SpongeBob SquarePants. SpongeBob SquarePants. SpongeBob SquarePants.
Welcome back to the SpongeBob Chronicles, a SpongeBob SquarePants podcast. I'm your host, Ronnie.
I'm Chad.
Now, right up front, we have some business to take care of. We will be covering Season 1, Episode 7, The Hall Monitor / Jellyfish Jam.
Do your best Hall Monitor.
I can't do it.
Whoa. You almost went like full Viking right there.
Yeah, I did.
The Hall Monitor.
It was too nerdy, what you did.
The Hall Monitor.
Better, better. It's all in the chin.
It really is.
It's all in the chin as SpongeBob did it, and when... I liked what you did better.
Okay.
I wasn't confident in mine, so I'm not going to try it any further. Yeah, we're doing the Hall Monitor. Here I am in front of the mic with egg on my face. Can't believe this has never happened before. Many years of podcasting, which we are recording, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just had a little panic attack there, a little anxiety. We've switched back and forth episodes. You know, we're like basically an ice skating duo. Mm-hmm. That's how in sync we are with each other. Until today, it was my episode to do the summary. I did not do the summary, and right before we hit record, if you had asked me, I would have bet almost anything that it was Chad's turn. It was not. I apologize, but here's the thing about SpongeBob. I know this episode like the back of my hand.
Like back of your hand. Me and you are like the Chaz Michael Michaels and what is the other guy's name in Blades of Glory?
I couldn't tell you.
That's what we're like.
That's what we're like, though.
We're just like them of the podcasting world.
And so it's going to be a tag team effort. I'm going to need you to hold me up a little bit more than usual, but we got this. With all that being said, off the table, what did you think of the episode?
I mean, Hall Monitor, I've seen it so many times, but it has been a long time since I've seen it. On this rewatch... It has got to be one of my all-time favorite SpongeBob's, hands down.
I would argue between the two of us, it has the line that we reference the very most.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Would you agree? I think it's
I would agree. I'm actually going to go out and say this. I have not been doing the list that you've been doing, ranking the SpongeBob episodes. This is at the top of my list so far.
Okay.
I'll just come out and
say fair.
It.
I think that's very fair. Let's do it. We're at Mrs. Puff's boating school, which I could talk about for, I mean, a long time.
SpongeBob has a full-time job. When is this boating school? Is this a weekend activity?
They make it see... how did you do driving school? Did you go to a class?
I did the online.
Yeah.
So that's what you did too?
Yeah. I set it up on my dad's iPad. I was playing NCAA football on the screen while the iPad was... I took it out of sleep mode.
Yep.
I did however much time I needed to do, and then I took whatever quiz it was at the end, probably looking up answers.
Oh, yeah.
I did 2 days of practice driving with like a service where the guy came and picked me up, went and took the test, been driving ever since.
See, I found out about halfway through taking it that somebody had told me. I was like, damn, I wish I'd have known this from the start. You could change the clock on your laptop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, say you had to wait 45 minutes or whatever. There are stupid wait times that it did. You could just change your clock 45 minutes later and it would let you take the quiz then. So I just kind of flew through the second half like that. I was like, wow, I wish somebody would have told me that sooner. But
yeah, I heard about that. I wasn't that savvy, but it all worked out. Yeah, but Mrs. Puff's boating school, apparently it is something that is prolonged enough to where every single person gets an opportunity to be the hall monitor because it's selected every week. Tina, Ralph, they've all done it. My personal favorite, I don't know about you, was when she calls Phil. Phil goes, "No way, Mrs. Puff."
Yeah. That's always a good one. I would love to know if it's just the same voice actor doing all of these voices.
Yeah, a little bit something different.
Yeah. Dude, what's awesome about this, though, is the way SpongeBob scoots up after each name is just so hysterical. I feel like I've done that in class. Like, we would do this in class back in the day.
Yeah, scooting the chairs around, I agree. I guess I just wonder, like, what does Mrs. Puff think is going to be so bad about it? Does she know that the speech is coming?
Well, she should, because he talked about, he talks about at the end of the speech, did I overdo the speech again? Again, he says. And she goes, yes, SpongeBob. So he's never technically got to be the hall monitor because
he always overdoes the speech.
He always, so this seems like a, I watch the clock. As the clock goes, while he's doing the speech, people are falling asleep. Mrs. Putt falls asleep. Everyone else is falling asleep. It goes about at least 5 hours. I want to say this school's 6 hours. He does, you know, the first hour she's picking out the hall monitor in class. He does a 5-hour speech every time he does a speech, and then that's the end of the class. So he's never technically had to be the hall monitor while class is going.
Well, I'd like to think that he's actually done, he's come prepared with 10-hour speeches. But over the, you know, over the times he's gotten so many reps, he's dwindled it back to 5 hours, and he's almost got it cut to where he wants it.
Now, there was definitely people that were this excited to be like the line leader. Back in the day.
And that's the other point I was going to make. All these other kids are stupid. Because here's the thing. Do they, Mrs. Puff is sweating bullets. Do these guys not know what's getting ready to go on?
Maybe they're like, well, now we don't have to take class.
Because here's the thing. I wasn't a big reader in class when you like rose your hand. The only time I would raise my hand to read was when the kid who kept raising his hand and stuttered through every single passage would raise his hand. I would try and outdo him and be like, no, I'm doing it.
You know why, when I did it the most, and this is not going to be a shocker to you, when we were reading like To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yep.
And it, you know, like the certain like bad words it would always say.
Yeah.
I would be like, well, I kind of want to say a bad word in front of the class.
You'd like read ahead and be like, ooh, a little.
And I'll say it in Spanish because it's not even a bad word. This is the book. It's like written several times in the book.
Yeah, let's just say it.
Negro. That's black in Spanish. But that was the word that was on there. And I was always like, oh, well, if I, you know, I can read it to the class. And then if I say it, she's like, well, you don't have to say the word. You can skip over it. But I would always say it because, yeah.
What a intense like sixth grade classroom that would have been.
It might have been seventh grade. It was sixth or seventh grade.
SpongeBob launches into the speech. He's like, I will accept my position in the hall. I will protect all that are weak in the hall. I mean, in the beginning, it's kind of like,
oh, it's
lit.
Hype me up, yeah.
And then he kind of launches into a little bit more of a poetic thing, like, oh, I'm touched. He's got tears. Like you said, the clock is absolutely rolling. He says, in conclusion, and without a moment to spare, I will put on this uniform and assume my duties as the hall monitor.
The hall monitor.
Chin further back.
The hall monitor.
There you go. Better. When he was in the speech, I started to wonder, do you think that he is the guy that like tries to hang out with his classmates? Like, will he go up to them and be like, hey, what are you doing after class?
Yeah, I think he's tried to, but they say no every single time that he just stops.
Okay, so he can take a message.
He can take a hint.
Or take a hint.
Yeah, it took a while, but he got there.
All right, I think I agree with that. The other thing... Uh-oh, you okay?
Keep going. Yeah, I got to charge.
Okay. My other note, hey, Mrs. Puff, get a hold of your classroom.
Why do you say that?
If she knows that he does this every time, just say, hey, you're the hall monitor, but we're going to skip the speech. Why does she let him do the speech?
I don't know, because then she even feels bad for him at the end of it.
Yeah. He just wasted 5 hours of class time. Why do you feel bad? He just totally had his moment, even though he didn't put
this.
The...
And, you know, poor Miss Puff. I'm looking at her right now. She is not the, you know, cutest looking fish in the sea.
No, she is going to circle something on her way home.
If the Krusty Krab had a drive-thru, she would be in it every day.
Oh, man. So, yeah, the class is over. You're having technical difficulties. Yeah, I'm good. Sorry. We're good. You're good? Okay, yep. Sorry. Sorry, I got so distracted. I wish I could focus more. He droops down in a way that I don't like, where it's like falling off the sides of his pants.
It reminds me of like the Fun, but without the Fun. The Fun episode.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's another great one that we haven't mentioned yet that we get to do eventually. She lets him keep the outfit. He is ecstatic. He's down in the streets of Bikini Bottom.
I mean, this is just the fact that he gets the hall monitor outfit from school and decides to direct traffic at a stoplight that's not working.
A stoplight that is filled with the dumbest drivers ever because they're coming. They're on both sides of the lanes and they're at all crosses of the intersection and they're completely bamboozled by this flashing stoplight. Honestly, I'm not shocked. People still...
Oh, people are bad.
People do not realize, hey guys, it just becomes
a four-way stop.
People get very confused. They like start deciding which way is like the main way. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. They're like, well, this is the main street, so we just keep going and these people have to wait. People are dumb. But people also love a uniform. And that's the whole message here.
Do you think if I put this uniform on?
Well, I think if you put the hall monitor uniform on, you get the cops called on you pretty quick. Now, if you go get like a...
what crossing guard outfit.
Like a crossing guard vest and you just go to an intersection... I think, here's the thing, I think you can go for quite some time, and I honestly think that even a few cops would pass and be like, not care. I would not get out, ask any questions.
Right, because the only way you'd get caught is if another crossing guard shows up that was supposed to be there.
I think eventually, you know, if you do it for like an hour and a half, maybe the cops will start talking and be like...
Especially if you're doing it the way SpongeBob's doing it.
Yeah, where you're really putting some moves into it.
Yeah, I mean, he can't just like point and, you know, wave, just blow the whistle. He has got to do the absolute most. I respect it.
We just went on a rampage on our Patreon talking about this idea called the Sticky Bandits. I don't want to get too far into it, but basically we're creating a team and going around and rolling houses to become social media famous. Go check that out. It was one of our better Patreon episodes, I think, and they're all really good. Trust me. My mom says so. So check that out at patreon.com/Ronnie and Chad. All that to say, another good idea that I don't know if I've seen is someone do that. Just go put on a nylon highlighter vest and just see how long you can direct traffic.
Another great idea. Anybody that leaves their window up open, start breaking into their house to prove the message of not leaving your window up.
Because that's the next move that he does. I remember hating this couple even when I was a kid because the way the woman says, more seaweed medley, dear? Why did she talk like that? No one in SpongeBob talks like that.
And she's wearing a bikini. Like, why is she doing that?
Do your impression of how she asks. More seaweed medley here? No, medley deer. She's not advertising it through the window. More seaweed medley deer? You don't do it as good. You have a better hall monitor. I have a better seaweed medley woman. They're eating this at 4:30 p.m., if I'm correct, and yet he can't believe that they've left the window open on what seems to be a beautiful day.
Nice day.
So he somewhere found a balaclava and breaks in, steps into their seaweed medley as they panic, thinking that their domain has been, you know, figured out. It's been ransacked. They run out and he goes, hope you learned a valuable lesson.
Doesn't he call himself the Open Window Bandit?
A really great name.
Yeah.
Really clever. Next, he finds what I guess he assumes to be litter, even though it's just melted ice cream on the ground. Taste it. Strawberry. And it's our boy Patrick.
I love how he just sticks his finger in it and just sucks it up to see what it is.
And I like
that. That is so dangerous.
He takes all the time to do this. Patrick is sitting above him the whole time, doesn't realize that his best buddy's right below him tasting the ice cream that he's letting hit the ground.
Oh, Patrick is so good this episode. My goodness.
You ever think about just like a day in the life of Patrick?
I mean, why? What does he do? I've always wondered, what does he do when SpongeBob's not around? He's just chilling on a wall eating an ice cream by himself. That there can't be anything more like happy-go-lucky than that.
Yeah, like we said, nice day.
Yeah.
Downtown, got an ice cream. I don't know where he gets money to get said ice cream.
I don't know.
Don't have a clue, because he said that his parents kicked him out. Maybe they provided him with a nice little nest egg that he's just kind of living off of. But yeah, SpongeBob plays hardo with his buddy, being like, "What? You can't be doing this."
Well, Patrick hears SpongeBob's voice and thinks it's the ice cream talking to him at first.
This is another great episode with just like, we've already done the hall monitor, the sea fish or seaweed medley. I don't know why I want to keep saying sea fish. The newspaper boy. What's up with it? Is it extra, extra? And then he walks up and he's like, "Did you guys?" He's like a 40-year-old veteran chain smoker. He's like, "Did you guys see about the menace going around town?"
The menace. I mean, how funny would that be? I know I don't get any newspapers anymore, but there's just going around town being in the newspaper is hilarious. But if it said a menace on there, like,
yeah, well, so it says maniac.
Oh, maniac, you're right.
But he also, and this still is where I got mad, he said, "Arm yourselves with arm yourselves with knowledge." Don't hand me a newspaper and say that.
You can if you look like that guy.
That's something our boy Kenny Jr. would say.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be like, "Well, you need to..." Well, see, here's the reason why I look up the news every single morning at my 9-to-5 job and see what's going on. And
it's actually a part of the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. It's really the right to bear knowledge.
You've got to arm yourself with knowledge. Yeah. Okay, whatever. So this maniac, there's only one job to take this guy down, and it's you got to be a hall monitor, and you also need a little deputy. Who better than an ex-criminal? So Patrick's been recruited, puts an ice cream cone on his head. It's all very official.
The ice cream cone on the head is just the way he points up at it after he puts it on, like so happy.
He's like, "Oh, I got an idea."
It is so extra chromosomey.
They try and get into the zone of a criminal. So what would they do? They'd go get ice cream, which sounds...
Well, what'd you do? I'd get ice cream.
And as soon as they're done, I just saw the face he makes. As soon as they're done getting ice cream, SpongeBob says, "Okay, now what?"
The way he puts his hand on his chin and thinks.
Patrick ponders it like he's trying to come up with the meaning of life. And then next thing you know, they're walking back outside of the ice cream shop.
And the biggest twist of events, I don't know if you noticed this, they take one lick of this ice cream. SpongeBob throws it away. Does the exact same crime that Patrick had done earlier.
Ooh.
Yes.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, it was... I don't know if it was an animation issue where they, you know, weren't thinking about it, but...
No, I think it goes to show that he's just kind of flying by the seat of his pants
is.
Here.
He's got... The power has already gotten to his head because he thinks he's above the law and he can commit crimes, but other people cannot.
Yeah, you want to show people... Like about like bad cops, you just show them this episode and go, "This is how easy it is."
Lord, hold on. Right.
So they got to split up. They're looking for this maniac because this ice cream thing, believe it or not, is not working.
It's not.
They got some walkie-talkies, which I am jealous of.
And as soon as SpongeBob turns the corner, the cops come around the other corner.
I got to talk about walkie-talkies for a second, because I don't know about you, but walkie-talkies were never something that I just always had at the ready, but every now and then as a kid, I would go through just like the kitchen drawers, and when I would find the walkie-talkies sitting in there, I would get so excited. I'm talking, it's like middle of the summer, so like, let's say June 17th, wherever Travis was, I'd run and be like, "Hey, do you want to like go play secret agent with the walkie-talkies?" And he'd be like, yeah. So then we'd go and get the walkie-talkies. That would then launch a 30-minute session of trying to find batteries for the walkie-talkies because they each took like four AAAs. And then never playing with the walkie-talkies.
You know what? A good walkie-talkie story. I'll make it super quick. Back in the early 2000s, every summer vacation, we would go to the same spot. My family, my uncle's family, and my aunt's family. We always met up at a house and drove off from there. So obviously cell phones were, even if we did have them, it was ancient cell phones. We gave each other walkie-talkies, and we would drive our six-hour drive to the beach. We would walkie-talkie back and forth to each other about like when to pull over to gas stations and important events because just be at most a couple cars ahead of us.
Yeah, yeah.
On the highway. So much fun.
That, why is that so much better than a phone?
It is so much because you can at any time just...
Yeah, you don't have to call in the noise. The noise is so great. And you get to say things like, over.
Yeah, one of them was like, pulling over, right up at 6 o'clock, take a shit. Over.
Pulling over. Over.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the cops, they come around the corner right as SpongeBob leaves. He's the brains of the operation, so you immediately get nervous. Because these guys are coming to Patrick.
You don't think Patrick is? He's wearing a cone on his head.
They pull up. They say, hey, son. He goes, hello, brothers.
And then he points at his cone.
He salutes and gives him an eyebrow wiggle as he points at his cone to be like, hey, boys, we're all fighting the same fight. They go and they get to business. They say, we're looking for the maniac. Have you seen this man? Where you see a drawing of SpongeBob. It's so clearly SpongeBob. It's...
Wanted maniac.
It's so clearly SpongeBob. They say, they literally go like this, have you seen the maniac? We're looking for this guy. They show him a picture. Patrick screams, it's the maniac!
So then the cops, they have to play with their food here.
Rightfully so. Yeah, he's a little horrified. And then they start driving away. They say, stay indoors, son, and take that cone off your head. That's so cute. Keep in mind. I need everyone to keep in mind the time of events because you might think, okay, and then they cut and they searched around a little bit more. No. SpongeBob left 30 seconds ago. The cops drive off. Patrick immediately grabs his walkie-talkie, says, SpongeBob, come on, SpongeBob, answer. He goes, I don't want to be a policeman anymore. I'm scared. And I do like this kind of role that SpongeBob found himself in, where he's like, get a hold of yourself, deputy.
Yeah.
But this was also, I remember thinking as a kid, this was the coolest transition. As he goes,
it was.
It's. I think it's getting night, and then it just slams down.
Slams dark. So that means in a matter of, this is what has happened during this day. SpongeBob has given a 10-hour speech at the Boating School Academy. He has caused the worst collision in Bikini Bottom between approximately 15 to 20 vehicles. He then went and got two ice creams with Patrick. It was actually Patrick's third ice cream because he was eating ice cream before he went with SpongeBob. And now we're here at night.
You didn't mention the seaweed medley. He broke into a home.
He broke into a home. Patrick talked to some cops, and now it's nighttime. That is a very eventful day.
And one of my favorite lines, it can't be my favorite line because we obviously know that one. My second favorite line is when SpongeBob goes, just put on your siren, I'll be right there.
Yeah.
And so Patrick at nighttime just starts going, wee-oo, wee-oo. He finds a flyer, and then he sees him. He sees the maniac under a light.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just this right here. I don't care what anyone says. It's classic comedy. He can't tell that he's looking at his friend. So the maniac, the behind the light pole. But before that, we get the classic line. I'll let you do it.
The classic line that I would say is the most used SpongeBob line that we ever use.
Which I don't know why.
I don't know. He's just standing there menacingly.
We say that. So for whatever reason, I guess in just day-to-day life, I'll just say, oh, he's just standing there. And as soon as I say that, it like...
You have to say menacingly.
Where I have to say menacingly.
Because that's the greatest part about this. SpongeBob couldn't stand menacingly anywhere if he wanted to. But that is exactly how Patrick sees it. Because if you look at the flyer of the Maniac too, SpongeBob looks even goofier in the flyer.
Well, yeah. SpongeBob tries to outrun himself. He then ends up in a mailbox where he gets some. He gets an alert. It turns out that's where the Maniac is. Yeah. He loses his mind. He's running around. He realizes it. I'm the Maniac. And then the entire Bikini Bottom police force arrives, says, we'll take that as a confession. Somehow Mrs. Puff has her curlers in her hair. She's been alerted of all this. She comes up, and she basically, she pulls just one of the stupidest moves
yeah,
you can make.
Yeah, he's my responsibility. Why would you say that about Sponge? See, I feel like she secretly cares for him more than she's putting on, because she gave him the hall monitor suit to begin with. To go for at night. She felt bad for him. Now she's taking this responsibility.
Yeah, and it also makes it very confusing once again about SpongeBob's age, because you can't just say that someone is your responsibility if they're of age and they go, well, we've got to do this, man.
Yeah, that's like you commit a murder and then your mom like feels bad for you. She's like, well, he's my responsibility. They're like, well, okay, man, we'll take you instead.
All right, buddy boy, make sure you're at class tomorrow, but we'll be taking your mother now. The other thing, too, is if they, like, interrogate her at all, they'd be like, well, what happened? And she'll say at some point, I gave him a hall monitor outfit. And then they go, well, ma'am, we have to let you go now, because that's not a crime.
Gave him a swastika, he just started committing violent crimes.
What the heck did you do? We're watching SpongeBob, chill out. Next day in class, we hear Mrs. Puff's voice. Another day of boating school, another week of boating school. I can't believe how excruciating this class is to get your license in Bikini Bottom, especially since we see that they don't drive any better. We saw how they handled a stoplight being out. Mrs. Puff's is in a jail cell that has literally two bars restraining the prisoners. If she was a little bit skinnier, she could squeeze.
She is not, unfortunately.
Right out. And this is her skinny mode.
Yeah.
Because she's a pufferfish. That's the end of episode. Great one. A really good one.
Top one for me, for sure.
For now.
For now.
Don't
I'm saying
go getting
top,
ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Top one for so far.
And it is unfortunate. I mean, here's the thing. We're going to talk about Jellyfish Jam. This is an easy week. It's so clearly Hall Monitor takes the cake. Yeah. And Jellyfish Jam, let's go ahead and start talking about that one. One of the weaker ones we've covered so far. It's still iconic.
So groovy, though.
Still iconic. But it just lacks some extra oomph because it's mostly just SpongeBob talking to this jellyfish.
It's literally a music video for most of it.
With a few Squidward moments sprinkled in.
I would say that the last part is what I was most excited about. The tune they play at the end is just an actual banger. Like, some of the music they make in this show ends up being really good.
The tune at the end, or like the main Jellyfish Jam tune?
Well, both of them. But the tune at the end, I've forgotten how good it was. When he starts sending all the animals, he starts like waving at the dolphin and waving, and they all start playing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Such a good tune.
I need to remember that, because right now I can only remember the classic Jellyfish Jam, where it's like, it's the kind of song where, come on, you hear it and you go, oh, yeah, this is a bop. And then they loop it for the seventh time in the episode and you go, well.
No. See, this, you'll listen to this last song again and you'll be like, holy shit. Like,
no,
now
I
love it now.
I believe that. The last song at the end, I'm not making any comments on that.
He did, like, the dolphin noise and everything.
Right.
So good.
So we get our narrator, our favorite narrator. I was talking to one of my buddies, Tommy, who we'd love to have on the podcast because he's right in there with us. He's in the bunker. He seems to think that the narrator, for no reason at all, is just like a ridiculously over-the-top French accent.
Okay.
Which could be right.
I could see that.
I think that might be right.
Ah. he always just took a nice sip of something.
Yeah. His thirst was just quenched every time. SpongeBob is back in the fields all by himself. No Patrick today. I guess he had some errands to run.
Did you finish those errands?
He very easily catches a jellyfish. I'm trying to think. Did we see him?
He does it with his bare hands, too. Like,
well, this one, he...
You're talking about before...
He swings the net because he had such a good disguise. He was disguised as like a rock. Says, I finally got you. Then, just grabs it and milks the jellyfish. Is that what you would call it? I don't know.
He milks it. He basically jellies it.
He jellies the jellyfish? Yeah. Onto, I guess, just bread, because like toast doesn't hold up like this. It's got to just be bread.
Yeah.
Which would still be good. It's just like a jelly sandwich. Which,
yeah. I would say the jelly down below the sea is probably better than the jelly up here.
Probably. I don't know why I think that, but I agree. And I guess that this jellyfish just really liked the way that SpongeBob grasped his tentacles, because it's here for the long haul. It wants to hang out. SpongeBob doesn't want to keep a jellyfish, so he kind of plays bad guy. Says, no, you got to stay here. Keeps doing it. It's the classic, like, I don't want you anymore, except SpongeBob never had it.
Yeah, he never had it. It was like when you saved that kitten that one time.
Well, that was like a heroic thing. That was actually completely different, so don't get me off on a tangent. SpongeBob says, you know, what the heck, as my Wi-Fi quits working and makes things more difficult. He says, you can come home with me. They head back to the pineapple where he wants to show off his new pet to Squidward.
To Squid.
Or what he calls Squidwardiard. Squidward looks out and says, that's not a pet. That's a wild animal. When turns out this thing has got some tricks up its sleeve.
What would you relate this thing to? Would you relate it to like a, if you put a raccoon on a leash on land?
Well, meaning like if I show up to my house with this?
Like Squid said, that's not a pet. That's a wild animal. What would you have to bring home to Squid on land for him to be like, to relate it to a jellyfish? I think like a raccoon. If you just found a random raccoon and put a leash on it, he'd be like, that is not a pet. That's a raccoon.
I think that's probably pretty good. Because I was trying to think of like what we catch with nets.
Because raccoons can do like sly stuff. They always are associated with like trickery.
Yeah, when they're not like showing their fangs and stuff, they are kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you get like a little one. So I think that's good. The jellyfish has got moves. It does a great job playing dead. You would think this should, at this point, this is where Squidward should be impressed.
Yeah, when he puts a gravestone and buries himself under there, that's incredible.
Instead, he says, I wouldn't let that thing in my house even if it was potty trained, which is like a weird thing to immediately be concerned of after you see something just play dead that way.
Yeah.
Because then the jellyfish takes a, you know, does its business right into a toilet that's just in the middle of the street.
Sponge really lucked out getting a jelly like this.
He really did. In another line that's not, for whatever reason, I just love it. SpongeBob goes, well, we're going to my house to have a little fun.
Yeah.
And it starts immediately. The bass drops, the beat is pumping. How does it go? Octave change.
Yeah, the octave change. And then here's the thing about the dance. If I could actually get a pet that willingly wanted to just go home and dance with me, that would be the greatest pet ever. I know he complains because the jelly wants to dance too long, but if I had a dog...
Wait, be careful what you're wishing for here. Go ahead, keep going.
If I had a dog that willingly wanted to like headbang to metal with me for a long time, that would be the most awesome thing ever.
Yeah, of course, but like SpongeBob shows, you would get tired of it.
Yeah, but like dogs and cats like sleep. Jellies, we don't know their sleeping patterns. Maybe they just don't ever sleep. That's why...
Well, I also think these are some, like, very... Is there some like college age jellies?
Yes.
They are out of control.
Had a few Red Bulls before it came over and a couple key bumps.
So this party goes into the night. They're just throwing each other around. They got some insane coordination dance moves. That's the thing too. Like, you think about all the dancing. I want to see them choreographing this routine.
I know. They're on TikTok right now. There's a guy and another guy that are doing the jellyfish dance. They actually met up. They did it separately, and then they met up. It's within the last 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and it's just been coming on my feed, I guess, because we've been talking about SpongeBob.
Now, do they do it in water?
No, but they do it so well. Like, okay. There's a bigger gentleman. He's a little bit chubbier. He does the arm jelly movement so extremely well. And the skinnier gentleman that does it, he does more of the leg stuff better.
Okay.
But I would say, like,
if you get it again, please send it my way.
Oh, I'll show it to you after this. It's actually pretty incredible.
A little mad that you haven't already sent it to me, but okay.
Okay.
Since this has gone into the night, Squidward is having a hard time sleeping, and he's having a hard time sleeping next to his clarinet for some reason. Do not sleep with an instrument. Are you thinking differently?
I think they're, harmonica is one of the only acceptable ones. That's in my opinion.
Okay.
Harmonicas. And I solely relate that to old men on rocking chairs outside. They fall asleep on the rocking chairs. They have the harmonica right there with them.
Yeah, but he's in bed.
Now that's a little weird, yeah.
Okay. SpongeBob finally manages to corral the jellyfish a little bit. He turns the music off. Jelly turns it on, turns it off again. They have this little back and forth before he's like, come on, and he puts the leash on them. They go up to sleep.
Gary is very skeptical of this guy.
Gary, yeah, because the way that SpongeBob corrals the jellyfish is he just puts a little piece of rope around the skinniest part of the jellyfish. And Gary can just see the logistics of this. It's not going to work. SpongeBob is like, oh, it'll be fine. And the jelly, he does the oldest move in the book. He just waits for the person to go to sleep, and then it's party on.
Brings all of his buddies over.
God, they come swarming in.
Dude, this is the party that you go to where the guys are not supposed to. You don't invite a bunch of other dudes that don't bring any chicks. And this is exactly what's happened, is they've brought no chicks, and this is a straight-up sausage fest.
You think it's a dudes-only event?
Oh, yeah. There might be one or two girls out of the 40 jellyfish here.
Yeah, I feel like you're right. I think you're probably right, because why else would you... The party wouldn't go this long.
No.
That's like a very dude thing, to just literally the next morning and still be going as hard as they are. They've lost track of time. SpongeBob says, good morning. By the way... All the dick jellies, because they're dicks, they swam in and just did a little jelly poot right onto Gary. Mm-hmm. Messed up. Didn't like it. Somehow SpongeBob sleeps through all of this, even though the music is absolutely blaring and shaking Squidward's house. He throws on his robe, goes down the stairs. Now the stairs. I need to talk about those. It is the steepest staircase I've ever seen. And they're built on top of bamboo sticks that are tied together. There's not enough space in this house.
No, there's not.
For this staircase.
I mean, think about the library, too.
And if you, like, the steepness of the stairs, he would live on, like, a 12th floor. It's ridiculous. He slips on some jelly on the way down, and he is met with just an absolute rager.
Oh, yeah. We've got a bunch of, what do you call it, nose sniffers. That's what's going on here. They are tearing up the snow.
Yeah, jelly all over the place. That's a little, you know, looking at it now, I got to say it, it feels a little perverted. All the jelly around the house.
Yeah, it does.
Because.
You're thinking of Splooge.
I'm thinking of Splooge, yeah. Thank you for just coming out and saying it.
Oh, that's so nasty.
I mean, it's on the floor. It's on the ceiling. It's across the walls.
I love how Squidward doesn't think about calling SpongeBob until 18 hours goes by.
Yeah. He really tried to hold off. He was being a really good neighbor. Yeah. SpongeBob walks in. They immediately use him as a disco ball, which I remember thinking was genius as a kid.
Yep.
Well, honestly, it still is. He goes, all right, that's it. This party is over. He starts walking towards the door. They build a staircase for him. What a great little gag. Like you said, Squidward gives him a call, but SpongeBob can't answer, so just jellyfish number 47 does.
Yep.
Get some of that jelly through the phone. You ever heard of Kiss Me Through the Phone?
I have.
How about
Soldier Boy?
Jelly Me Through the Phone.
Jelly Me Through the Phone. This is when technology really takes off, in my opinion, when we can do things like this.
How far away do you think we are?
Forever.
You don't think we'll ever get there?
I mean, I can never envision us talking on the phone and being able to spit in the phone and the spit just come out of the other phone.
Well, don't spit on me. Just
I'm thinking of just objects going through, and that's the first thing that came to mind.
Okay. I mean, think about it. All we got to do is teleport, and then the second we have that, I bet we can make it smaller and just send stuff through the phone.
It's a dangerous game, man.
We're already living in a dangerous game. That's what life is.
I know, but I could be like, fuck Ronnie, and okay, start sending like needles, start throwing needles through the phone and just stabbing you while you're, if you put it up to your ear.
Yeah, but you'd be caught so quick because of phone records.
I know, but what if I don't care if I'm caught? I mean, that's just...
Well, then, I mean, if you don't care if you're caught, we're here right now. You could just come up and stab me. That's no different.
I know, but I'd be like, hey, Ronnie, it's good to talk to you. It's so secretive. Like, you just don't know what's coming.
Yeah.
And then, put the phone up to your ear so you can hear my voice better.
Take me off speaker.
Yeah.
Squidward combats this the only way he... Oh, real quick, the jelly, strawberry, a little disappointed by that.
Yeah.
More of a grape man.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, Squidward combats this with a little clarinet music. He wants to tone it down a little bit. The jellyfish are so pissed, they make a frowny face in the air.
Squids just sucks at playing the clarinet.
He's
so bad.
It's one thing to sleep with the clarinet. It's another thing to sleep with a clarinet and be that bad at playing the instrument.
Ugh, so bad at it.
SpongeBob starts taking some secondhand damage from this music, so he gets stung up. He's like, all right, I'll ask him. I'll figure this out. He yells over to Squidward, hey, they're a little upset. Could you play better?
Play better.
He goes, okay. Or he just yells, sure. SpongeBob comes back in, elated. He's like, don't worry. He said that he was messing around. He'll play better. He totally has it in him. But he just plays louder. He's got a impressive sound system.
My what on earth is SpongeBob in a robe? I feel like this is the only episode he's ever in a robe.
Yeah, he stays in it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And what I believe to be the funniest part of this episode, they completely broke Squidward. He shows up to the front door after, because he got swarmed by jellyfish because of the playing. He knocks on it, hands SpongeBob the clarinet, and goes, you won't be hearing from me anymore. The poor guy, man.
Hands him the clarinet.
18 hours. He hands him the thing that he was literally sleeping with last night. And he's like, I'm not going to even bother. I can't win. SpongeBob's pissed. He starts screaming at him. They're not having it, though. He has to regret putting the longest extension cord ever on his music player.
Yeah.
Because he runs out the front door. It still has not been unplugged yet. It gets really contentious. They start, like, attacking him on top of his roof. He's in a corner with Gary, and turns out Gary does a lovely little metronome sound with his eyeballs.
Yeah, Gary. I didn't know Gary had this in him.
Yeah, where have you been the past 18 hours, mm-hmm. Gary? And yeah, they just lead him right back onto Jellyfish Fields. This is where the song comes in that you were absolutely digging.
Oh my, so good. I'll crank it up a little bit.
Crank it up a little bit. You won't have to point the microphone because our microphones are so good.
La, 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 la.
Yeah. La 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 la.
So here.
It's a jam.
It's the jelly.
And then there comes the narrator.
I just got done sipping a fine sparkling water.
Ah.
But what I love about that song is that you've got the jellyfish strings coming in. You've got the chest opening up. It's all the objects that SpongeBob points at. He just points at them and they know to play.
Oh,
that makes it all come together so well.
He's a phenomenal conductor.
Yeah.
And then,
I mean, it's just like the Hall Monitor episode. He's been conducting his whole life.
They can, so he gets them all distracted enough to where he's like, all right, Gary, now's our chance. Let's get out of here. As the narrator says, wild animals can can throw wild parties.
Yeah, that's the moral of the story from this episode.
Learned a lot as we see Squidward healing his stings or just, you know, trying to relieve the pain a little bit in a nice bath. And that's the end of the episode.
End of the episode. I just remember, this really is just mostly like a music video episode. I remember as a kid, I didn't pay attention to any of the other stuff in here except for the dancing and the songs.
Right.
That's all. No, it was.
I agree. That's what I was saying. Like, iconic episode. It just didn't have as many funny moments. You ready to hear what next week is?
Yes.
I'll be honest. It's the first week where I'm
not that good.
I'm a little nervous.
Uh-oh.
And the only reason I say that is going into it, obviously we were naming all the bangers of the episodes, and I named one or two episodes where I was like, I remember that one getting on my nerves a little bit, and we're there.
Ooh,
now.
Ooh, Squeaky Boots.
Episode 8 is Squeaky Boots.
See, you talking about getting on your nerves, that's the first one I think of because I know you, and I know that just gets on your nerves.
It gets on my nerves.
I mean, I will
bit.
Say it does kind of get on mine too, but I wouldn't say that I hate the episode.
I don't think I'm going to hate the episode because I can picture how proud SpongeBob is walking around in those ridiculous boots, which are very funny. And then the other one, I'll be honest, I don't remember I kind of remember what it is. But it's, and now that I think more and more, it's coming back to me, Sandy's Rocket.
Is that when they, like, they go, they think they're on another planet and there's aliens, they start shooting them with the catchers?
Yeah. So that one's got the potential to be very good, actually.
That one might actually be really good, yeah. Because that's one that I feel is a good episode, but I didn't really watch it that much.
Yeah, I remember what they do, but I couldn't recall lines and stuff like that, but that one should be good. All right. You got anything else?
I think that's it.
Cool. If you're listening on the free feed, go check out the Patreon. You can listen to 3 more episodes right now. I've been Ronnie.
I've been Chatty.
Peace.
Peace.